Good morning. Merry Christmas again. Merry Christmas. What a sweet service last night, right? And it's going to be the same today, I know, because the Spirit of God is behind it. And so if you'll go ahead and open in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2. Shocking, right? Luke chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 21. 15 through 21. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That was the message that was declared from the angel that we unpacked last Sunday. A Savior, his name being Jesus, for as the angel told Joseph, he will save his people from their sin. And he has. How would this be? Well, the answer to this was beautifully captured this week in our family worship time. Namely, in the book that we are using for this said time of family worship each evening. It's one that I would greatly commend to you, especially, not only, but especially if you have children or grandchildren. There was some chaos going on this morning. I know you're probably shocked about that. I planned to bring it. But it is entitled, Prepare Him Room, by an author named Marty Makowski. And within each reading, there's an opening activity. And one of the set activities was to take a toy of the manger holding the baby Jesus, and on the table where we were doing our family devotion time, to take that and to place it on top of a cutout of whatever you choose. We chose construction paper, but a cutout cross. And then we were to ask our boys, why? Why do you think we have put the manger and the cross together? The answer, obviously, being that the baby lying in this manger came to die as only he could. As our sweet Timothy said, to die on the cross. He, who is fully God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, yet also fully man, born of the Virgin Mary, would not and did not remain in that manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. May we not leave him there. No, he would grow up. He would live a perfect life. He would die a death that we deserve to die in our place, rising victoriously to new life. He would one day willingly be wrapped and clothed, not in swaddling cloths, but in our sin, in our depravity, in our wickedness, taking all of that upon himself, taking upon himself our unrighteousness so that we could be wrapped and clothed in his righteousness. Forever forgiven, our sin debt paid, and beautifully adopted as sons and daughters of God. So to answer the question as to how he would be our Savior, he would be our Savior for dying or by dying for us in our place and raising us to new life, providing us who have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ through the confession and repentance of sin to eternal life. How loving, how merciful, how compassionate, how gracious, what a gift. Undeserved, unmerited, unearned, what a great salvation, right, church? That said, what better way to celebrate this Christmas Sunday morning? I know many might disagree with me, I love when Christmas comes on Sunday. But what better way to celebrate this Christmas on this Sunday morning than being reminded as his people, chosen, adopted, redeemed, and sealed, as we learned from our study of Ephesians. Celebrating this great salvation. Being reminded of it and being encouraged and spurred on by it. The text before us this morning beautifully does just that. It reminds us of our salvation. It paints a beautiful portrait for us as to how one is saved, as well as encouraging us as to what is the appropriate response to a new creation in Christ who has been saved? How will our lives increasingly be transformed as a result of it? What is it going to look like? Because if we're new creations, we are going to increasingly look different than what we did before as being part of the old nature, the first Adam. What do we look like when we've been saved by the second greater Adam? So this Christmas morning, let us travel again with haste with the shepherds to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, and let's listen in upon another conversation. One in which we're not given specifics, we're just told the conversation that they had was what they had already been told. So we have to kind of go back and look, what have they been told? Because that's what they're sharing with each other. Nonetheless, let us travel with the shepherds as they went and made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. If you haven't already, open Luke 2, 15 through 21 is where we're going to be. And let us take a posture of reverence in our hearts, standing with me if you are able, remaining in your seats. If not, that is absolutely okay as I read this ever familiar text, as I read God's precious and holy word out loud. You have it? Amen? All right, we're going to start verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at the shepherds, at what the shepherds told them. But Mary, she treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let us pray as we always must, imploring the Lord to open our eyes to truly see the beautiful treasure that he's given us in his word. Father, we thank you for this morning, God, another Christmas morning that you have so graciously given each and every one of us. One that, yes, is tradition, Father, but as we have spoken of throughout this season, traditions can be really, really beautiful when they are used rightly to focus us and point us to Christ. When we're not focusing on the tradition, we're focusing on him. Father, we pray that you will guide my tongue and our minds and our hearts as we approach your holy word in our time here this morning. Preach a better sermon through me by your spirit than what I am about to right now, Father. Into the hearts of your people, including myself, may we indeed be encouraged and spurred on by the beautiful truth that is before us. Your infallible, perfect word that's living and active and that teaches and corrects and reproves and convicts and trains us in righteousness, that we would be greater equipped to do all that you've called us to do as your set apart people for your glory. We love you. We pray for those, God, that aren't able to join us this morning for lots of different reasons. I'm reminded of our shut-ins that we visited and sang to recently, Father. May they be encouraged in this day as well, God. May we be intentional in encouraging them with cards and phone calls and visits. May it not take Christmas for us to do that. We love you and we praise you. We thank you for all of our little kiddos, Father. Thank you for Isaac, God, and just his heart to want to use gifts that you've given him, as all of us do here, for your glory. It's in Christ's precious name we pray, be made much of in this time, God. And may Christ's name be exalted. And all of God's people said together, amen. You may be seated. So I simply want to begin. And a little bit of this, if you were here last week, you're going to hear again, and that's okay. Sometimes I wrestle with that, and you finally get to a place of years ago when I first started pastoral ministry, You would come to Christmas season and you would come to certain times and you'd be like, man, aren't they going to be tired of hearing that? And then finally the Spirit of God got a hold of me and he says, well, how can the gospel get old? How can the good news that is my son get old? Man, that's deep conviction there. That's deep. That's a cutting to the heart right there. So I want to begin, having said that, simply being reminded, us being reminded as to this great salvation. How is one saved? Well, as stated clearly, I pray last Sunday, one's salvation, our salvation, is solely by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And why is that? It's so, that is Ephesians 2 says, it's so that God and only God would and does get the glory alone. It's so that man cannot boast in any part of his salvation. It is solely a work of God in and through Christ by means of the Spirit and the Word. Sorry, the bronchitis is hitting me. So where do we see this in this text? Well, it's pictured powerfully, at the least, in the shepherds. Where and how? Well, let's think about this for a moment. Just leading up to the text before us today, before they went with haste to see this thing that had happened, what took place before? By grace, and only by grace, a gift from God, they heard. They heard. They heard about this salvation. Salvation, faith, comes initially by hearing. It must. It is affirmed over and over in God's word. Romans 10:17 says that faith that saves comes by hearing. I can live the gospel all I want. It's not going to save anyone unless they hear me say the gospel. They might ask questions as to why are you living this way, but unless I speak the truths as to why that is as a new creation, they're not going to come to faith in Christ. They must hear, and the shepherds heard. Anyone who ever has or ever will be saved has had to have first heard the gospel. If you were sitting here this morning and you are a child of God, an adopted child of God through faith in Christ, it is because God placed the beautiful feet of someone or multiple people in your life to proclaim the gospel and to bring what was dead to life. That's the only way. By grace, through faith, that comes by hearing. This is exactly what happened to the shepherds. As we read and touched upon last Sunday, by grace, the shepherds, they played zero part in this. They weren't praying for this to happen. They did nothing. They were in the fields at night, bored out of their minds, I am sure, tired, perhaps cold. This is not what they were looking for. They played zero part in this. And the heavens opened. And an angel appeared. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. It's by grace, church. They didn't conjure this up. They didn't call for the heavens to open. And the angel declares this beautiful message, the gospel, the good news of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, who would and has brought peace between a holy God and sinful man by the blood of the cross. And then having heard by faith, a faith produced in them by God's sovereign grace, what happened? They believed. Their eyes had been opened. Remember last night we talked about the blind man and the symbolism of that. He was literally born in darkness, just as all of us are born with original sin inherent in us from the first Adam. And only God can open our eyes to see our need for him and the mess that is our lives. They believed. And how do we know they believed? Well, what does James tell us? What does James tell us? What did he write? It's faith and works together. They go hand in hand. Our works not saving us, but our works giving evidence that we have been saved. Because as new creations, we are going to live different. We are going to look different. We are going to be different. We're going to talk different, right? Where do we see this with them? Well, the first verse and a half of our text. What does it say? When the angels, having shared the gospel message, this good news of great joy, when they went away from them into heaven, when the darkness of night had returned, having been filled at one moment with the glory of the Lord, right? The darkness had returned, yet fear and doubt did not. Instead, what does the shepherds do? They say to one another, let us go. Let us go over to Bethlehem. This sounds crazy. What happened is crazy. We've never seen anything like this. We've not heard anything like this. Even if they were devout, surely they had to be, what is happening here? That's not what we get. That's not the picture. Instead, let us go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened. There is no doubt in their minds. This has taken place. It's not, let's go. It's not a Zechariah thing. It's not, let's see if this did happen. It's no. Let us see this thing that has happened, that the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. They went quickly. They ran. Whether or not they cared about the sheep anymore, I don't know. I would say yes. They probably made sure things were good there, but they went as quickly as they possibly could to see this thing that had happened. And they went, and indeed they saw. And as the hymn writer penned, in this moment, yet another gracious gift from God, a sign, right? And this will be a sign for you. The baby will be wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. In that moment, when they initially saw, their faith, at least in part, became sight. Became sight. There was Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, just as it had been told them. Wonderful picture of God's grace. But not just God's grace. We have this tension, right, of God's grace and yet also man's response of faith, which is necessary. A faith produced in us by him in order that he can receive all the glory. Nonetheless, you have God's grace and man's response, all seen beautifully in these shepherds. We have already seen it in Mary and Joseph as well. John MacArthur rightly comments regarding this. The shepherds seeking out Mary and Joseph and Jesus illustrates that those who truly believe in the revelation of God in Christ, that those who truly believe in the gospel will come to him. They will run to him. They will come with haste to him. Because they will see their depravity and their hopelessness just as we have if we are saved. And we will flock to him as our eyes are opened. And they will, and we will accept his invitation in which he says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The gospel doesn't get old, church. I pray it doesn't go stale. That said, let us not miss, though. Let us be encouraged and spurred on by the great response to this great salvation. What was this response? What came as a result from the shepherds? What do we see in the shepherds? But not just in the shepherds, because Mary and Joseph are included in this as well, right? They're here. They too have been saved by grace through faith in this child.
believing that although he had not gone to the cross yet, that he would be their Savior and is their Savior. And so what do we see in the rest of the text that we can learn and glean ourselves that shows how are we to respond to this great salvation that we've been graciously giving? What is it going to look like increasingly in our lives? And I pray that means today too, in all of the distractions. What do we see that will come for all who've been saved by grace through faith in Christ? For all who have truly been brought out of darkness into light, from death to life. I see at least four things here. The first, we see in verse 20. With the shepherds, we see praise. Simply praise. We are told, having heard and seen just as it had been told them, and there's this amazing conversation that's taking place between Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. And obviously there are others around based upon the text in some way, shape, or form. Not the wise men, they come later. But nonetheless, what an amazing time of testimony sharing that this is. We talked about this a little last week. The shepherds are speaking to them all that they were told concerning this child. Right? So they're telling Mary and Joseph all that had just happened. The glory of the Lord shone around us. You're not going to believe this, guys. And this is what we were told about this child that is laying here. What child is this? Right? This is who this child is, if you don't know. But unbeknownst to them, Mary and Joseph know. And so they begin to say, well, this is what happened to me. And then Joseph says, and this is what happened to me. And I'm sure she starts sharing about Elizabeth and Zechariah and John. Can you imagine that conversation? To be a fly on the wall in an animal den, I'm sure there probably were many. But what did they do after that? The shepherds returned, we're told, Luke records, glorifying and praising God. Indeed, church, praise will not only be the initial response to one who has truly been brought from death to life, but praise will be a continual response. How could it not be? If we truly understood our depravity and our hopelessness and our ugliness and our wretchedness and our evil and our wickedness and how we live for ourselves with no concern, forget God, period, with no concern for anybody but ourselves. If we truly see our ugliness and then the beauty that he's made and is making out of these ashes, how could praise not be? How could praise not be our initial and continual response? It was for theirs, may it be for us. And then in verses 21 through 24, actually extending a little bit beyond our text. What is something else we see? It's obedience. It's obedience. It's clear. Beyond even the shepherds. They heard. They believed. Right? And they obeyed. They went. They went with haste. This sign wasn't, hey, you might want to think about going over here. No, it was go. Go and see this. Mary had done the same thing when she was told that Elizabeth, in her not being able to bear children, her barren state, had become pregnant. And she went in obedience. Go see. Be encouraged. Be affirmed as to all that I am sharing with you. The shepherds, but even beyond them, let's see the obedience to God and his word displayed in Mary and Joseph. 21. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, why was he circumcised? Per God's law. In obedience to the word of God. He was called what? John, Luke, Jesus. Why? Because that was the name given them by the angel in which they were to call him. There was no question as to who this kid's name was. This beautiful, wonderful child, the Savior. And then we keep going, 22, and the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses. God's word. And what did they do? They brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, verse 23, chapter 13. Every male who opens first the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. They're doing exactly what they are commanded to do. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, Leviticus 12. A pair of turtle doves, or if you are not as wealthy, two young pigeons. Exactly what they were told. Church, as we saw in our study a while back in 1 John on Wednesday nights, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this, obedience to his commandments, we know that he abides in us. Because we won't want to obey him if he's not abiding in us. If we've not been made a new creation in Christ, desiring then to live our lives for him and in obedience to him. Obedience to Christ and his word gives evidence that we indeed belong to him and have been saved by him. Obedience, a striving towards obedience, and please hear me on this, because 1 John is also very clear on this. If we claim we have no sin, we lie. Right? But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our unrighteousness. It's already been purchased for us at the cross. And so therefore, part of obedience is when we disobey, we confess and we repent, resting in his forgiveness that is ours at the cross. Moving on, what's the third one? This is one of my favorite ones that I see here. I love this. Verse 19, and my heading for this is simply hungering. Hungering. Somebody that has truly seen the beauty and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ will hunger for more of him. Where do we see it in the text? Verse 19. They have been sharing their testimonies as to what has been happening, right? And the other people, whoever they are that are there, are wandering, they're amazed, there are lots of different places. Is it not? We don't know much about them. But then 19, this beautiful, beautiful verse. And Mary, kind of distinguishing her, at least in this moment, having heard all that the shepherds had said, what does she do? She treasures up all these things. She's like soaking them in, what the shepherds had said and what she had been reminded herself about as well. And then what does it say? And she pondered them in her heart, meaning she reflects deeply upon them. She doesn't just leave it there. It's like this moment of just, I'm just going to bathe here for a second. I'm just going to sit here for a second in this and think more and more and more about it. Mary's deep meditation in this moment on the Savior, it illustrates, again, another aspect, another response that will come to those who have truly received Jesus Christ. Salvation's initial euphoria, or the excitement that comes, the praise that comes, it truly will deepen into a real hunger and a thirst for a richer, fuller, more profound understanding of the person and work of Jesus Christ. No true Christian will ever be satisfied with the level of knowledge about Christ and his person and his work and his word that they've already attained. Those who have truly been saved by Christ will desire and will hunger, as Peter says, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hungering to know him more deeply, to know him more intimately, to understand his word more fully in order to live it more faithfully to and for his glory, who they've surrendered, who we've surrendered our lives to. One of the most encouraging things for me when I became the pastor of this new church was getting to do Wednesday night Bible studies. I'm a teacher by trade. I taught elementary school for years, as most of you know. I love discussion back and forth. I love that component of it. And I love the hunger that is in this sanctuary on those days. And I know it's on Sunday mornings as well, but I love the hunger. And I pray that your hunger to learn from what I share, because I want you to know I'm hungry to hear from the Lord through you as well and to learn from you. May we, like Mary, not just kind of see and hear and be like, that's great. No, may we continue to ponder and want to grow more deeply and more intimately in our relationship with Christ and our knowledge of him. He's a vast ocean that we will never, never completely dive deep enough in. But may we strive for it. And the more we strive for it, the more we're going to look like him, and the more we're going to desire to faithfully serve him, and the more that he's going to be made much of in a world that desperately needs him, just as we did. Lastly, I'm going to try to stay short here. Just, we got these kiddos. They're doing great, though, right? Verse 17. We see witnessing. We see witnessing. Or testifying as well. I think multi-purposed here. You have saved people that are getting together, sharing stories and encouragements about the person and work of Christ, right? That's for the purpose of confirmation and affirmation and encouragement and spurring on, right? Building a faith that's already in an individual because of Christ. But then you also have the evangelistic component of it, and we see that as well. Having seen as it had been told them, what do? Verse 17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Again, not only to Mary and Joseph, but also, according to verses 18 and 20, to others. Others were hearing this. What had been told them? The gospel. The gospel. Verses 10 through 14 of chapter 2. They were telling others, this is what we were told, fear not, for behold, good news of great joy has arrived. Why? Because unto us a Savior has been born in this day in the city of David, the Christ, the one who we have been anticipating for centuries, our people. That was promised to us all the way back in Genesis at the fall. The offspring of the woman who would be bruised by the offspring of the serpent is going to crush him. And he's in this manger. And he's going to go to the cross and do that work. And he has. And he has. It is finished. Was his declaration from the cross. Church, they went over the mountain and everywhere, right? As the Christmas carol sings, telling the good news that the Savior Jesus Christ was born, becoming really the first New Testament evangelists in many ways. Some would argue maybe John from the womb of Elizabeth. Their witness revealing that the response, or one certain response of those who come to faith in Christ, is that they cannot help but tell others about him. It reminds me of one of my favorite texts in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah is just, he's getting ravaged through persecution. And he wants so badly to just stop giving the message that's causing the persecution. And he says, but I cannot. Even though I want to, I cannot, because it's like a fire in my bones. I can't help but let it out. That is to be the increasing response of one who has truly been brought out of the pits of hell and then to the embrace of our Savior as his child. Much, much more could be said here, but just even see in these four things, oftentimes there was a word in our church language that is used, and it is so, so oftentimes not rightly understood. It is worship. And oftentimes we hear that word worship and our minds automatically go where? Music. What kind of worship does this church do? What kind of worship does this church do?
No, music is only a component of our worship. All of these things, our response to our Savior, that is our worship. Music is included. Giving is including. All of it's included, including praise and obedience and hungering and witnessing and testifying to the glorious things of Christ. If you are doing those, church, that is worship. Giving our whole lives, everything about us. So let's not just say it's a piano or a guitar. No, it is our lives that we worship Him with. And when we rightly focus on it, we will be walking side by side more effectively in our testifying to the Lord Jesus Christ. Much, much more could be said regarding this text. But I want to close out our time here looking one last time at verses 16 and 17, kind of where the conversation is taking place within this text. Again, we read, "And they, the shepherds, went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child." Again, you have this amazing conversation taking place between these individuals, this dialogue back and forth. Don't miss this, as so many do, including myself. And it's going to be very easy for us to miss this as we leave here today and we go back into the chaos of the day and the distractions of the day. For some, it'll be more chaotic than others. Nonetheless, and Dan, this is where maybe we're on, like Bud was saying, we could just keep the same envelopes because we're going the same direction here, brother. Maybe I should say Amos, we're going in the same direction, brother. Notice on that very first Christmas, the focus of the night, the focus of the conversation was on Jesus. That's all they were talking about. I don't see Mary saying, "You know what? The angel told me that I was blessed among other women." I don't think that was part of the conversation. Right? I don't think the shepherds said, "Man, you should have seen. We were praying. I mean, just fervently praying in this moment. And because of that, because of our devoutness, the skies opened up." No, that's not what they were sharing. If we were in on that conversation, one name would rise to the surface. And it wouldn't be Mary, and it wouldn't be Joseph, and it wouldn't be the shepherds. It wouldn't be the innkeeper. They were in the background, and their conversation was shining a bright spotlight upon the child that was in that manger, whose name was Jesus. What had been said about Him, what they knew about Him as they had been told, and who He was. Even though their grasp was not full at the time. So as we leave here today, going our separate ways, most of us, if not all, returning home or going to the home of a family member to celebrate Christmas as a family. Some perhaps will be large gatherings, some might be very small. Yet as we spend time with one another, as we perhaps sit around the dinner table with one another, as we perhaps open more presents or even begin to open presents, whatever we have planned, may we spend our time together as the shepherds did with Mary and Joseph here in Luke 2, 16 and 17. And let's make sure that our conversations are focused on Christ and that we're testifying to the glorious person and work of Christ. You want to have a good Christmas? That's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it. And I want to extend even beyond that, because what does it say later on? After this whole thing had happened and they had this first Christmas together, right? And they're conversing with one another. It's a beautiful time. Eventually, what did they have to do? They had to return. Eventually, we too are going to have to return. If we're out of town, we're going to have to go back home. If we've been off from work, we're going to have to go back to work. Right? Back to the day-to-day grind, so to speak. Back to the classrooms, back to wherever we're going. Just as they returned. But when we return, may we return like they did as well. In the spheres of influence that God has placed us, may we return glorifying and praising God for this great salvation that came in a manger and that died upon a cross, and who will come again? May we return glorifying and praising God for his Son and our Savior to anyone who will listen. And may we do it even if they don't. For unto us was born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. May we go with haste and make known all that is true that has been poured into us about this child. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for reminders like Christmas. Thank you for strengthening my voice enough. And Father, may our conversations be a sweet aroma to you in this day. May everything that we do and say, as it should be true every single day, make much of you and exalt your Son, in whose name we pray, and all of God's children said together, amen.
Well, amen. Thank you, Pastor. Aren't you glad you came to church on Christmas? I am. That was a great, great message. And let's go ahead and stand. Scott's already up. Good job. Let's go ahead and stand, and we'll continue our worship and song as we sing, O Come, All You Faithful, from your lyric sheet there. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us appearing. O come. right, as we close out this morning with We Three Kings of Orianar, you know, I was just thinking, just like Mary pondered, might we ponder the virgin birth, death, burial, and resurrection that we see in this song this morning. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star.
Didn't think this thing through very well because we're talking about hungering and Wednesday nights, and we don't have Wednesday night this week, so failed you on that one. However, coming up this Sunday, we're actually going to, Pastor Dan's going to be preaching, and just on that, on the Magi. And so look forward to seeing each and every one of you guys again next week. Kirk, if you will close us out in prayer this morning, brother. Before we close, I was thinking about this morning. I was actually up first this morning, couldn't sleep really well last night, and so I just went downstairs, and you know, many of us are going to have, I appreciate your prayer of that, because many of us are going to have lots of family around, but some don't, especially some in our local body, and so take some time thinking about them today, and maybe even making a phone call to them, maybe even just a text, something, but let's go beyond ourselves. I just want to challenge myself. I was challenged with that this morning. And I want to challenge you with it as well, as my brothers and sisters. Let's go beyond ourselves. and think about the entirety of his body. Amen. Go in peace. God bless you.